Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Reggie, thank you very much for helping us out today, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And what are we doing here today? Well, we hope you have, you learn. Hope. Hope is such an interesting question. You know, we kind of don't even question hope. We think that hope is a good thing. Is hope good? And yet, if you're a pessimist, if you're somebody who just feels negative about the world, hope is something that's anathema to you. You don't like hope. Hope is something that you think is something that only the fools do. So today we're going to talk about hope from a couple of places. Let's think about how many places hope appears for us. Remember Dante's Inferno? In the Inferno, there's a sign that says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." Boy, romance can sometimes be like that. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here in romance. You know, hope is such an important part of romance because you hope, right? You hope. What is hope? Hope happens when someone sees something, decides that it is desirable, realizes that there's a chance they may not get it, but believes there's a chance they could get it. Should I repeat that for you? Hope happens when someone sees something, decides that it is desirable to have, realizes that you may not get it, but believes that there's still a chance of getting it. So you hope to get a role if you're an actor and you go for an audition. You hope, right? To put it another way, though perhaps it's complex, hope is expectation moderated by probabilistic estimation of a desired event. Probabilistic estimation means what is the probable estimate that it may happen. And it's expectation, you hope it to happen, moderated by the probability of it happening. Moderated. For hope to be strong force, in other words, for hope to be really an important part of your life, like many of you will be hoping for a vacation, hoping for a Christmas bonus, hoping, in order for it to be an important part of your life, the person's estimation that a desired event will occur must be both high enough for them to consider that there's a reasonable chance that it'll happen, yet not so high that they become complacent. You hope you're going to watch television tonight. No, you don't hope you're going to watch television tonight. It's too easy. You turn on the TV, you become complacent, you know? You hope you're going to watch something that they've been doing reruns of, like House, and you hope today they put it on an original one. Well, that's different. You know, you turn on the radio. You hope that Armand DeMille's going to be on the air with a positive mind, but you never know at WBAI. Maybe they're doing a special or a marathon or broadcasting some hearings. So you hope. But there's a good chance. Now, Charles Revson, who founded Revlon Cosmetics, he has a famous quote. He says, "What I sell is hope." Think about that. Cosmetics are all about hope. Cosmetics are trying to put something on with the belief that it will be attractive to someone else. What all cosmetics are about? Hope. Now let's take a look at fear for a moment. Fear is a negative hope. See, both hope and fear are forms of anticipation that we forecast the future. We experience emotions in line with our predictions. So when you have hope, you're forecasting a future. You're saying, "I hope I win the lottery." And you feel a certain amount of joy, possibility of winning the lottery. Fear, "I'm afraid my house will burn down," is another prediction in the future filled with emotions, negative emotions. Hope is not a single thing. It is more of a sliding scale that ranges across a scale from virtual certainty to utter desperation. Very interesting thing. In psychiatry, one of the things we look for is we look for what's called hopelessness. When a person has zero hope, we have one of the key ingredients of depression. When a person has two ingredients, we could tell you the other ingredients. One is a person is angry. They have no way of expressing the anger. When a person's unable to express their anger effectively, they turn the anger against themselves, and they put that combined with hopelessness, and you have the ingredients of depression. Shall I repeat that for you? Want to know what makes up depression? Depression makes up you get angry at yourself, you put yourself down, and you have no hope for the future. That's what makes up depression. But in order to put yourself down, one of the things that we always find is the people who put themselves down the most are the people who are least effective in getting angry at someone else. So you get angry at your mother, but you don't believe you should get angry at your mother, so you get angry at yourself for getting angry at your mother, and then you never see any hope for the future to change anything. Put those two together, I guarantee you depression. So the hope curve has this complete hopelessness to a manic kind of hope. Think about gambling casinos, a gambling addiction. Gambling addiction is about, well, that takes us to the three forms of hope. Let me take you to it, okay? There are at least three types of hope. One is desperation. Desperate hope is when a deep need is felt. Someone who is desperate will do almost anything to satisfy that hope, with almost anything being in proportion to the level of desperation. So a desperate hope is kind of gambling. You've got to feed this need. You've got to feed it. You'll do whatever you can to gamble. You steal money, borrow money, do whatever you can. Put yourself in hock to satisfy this hope. We're not going to talk about love yet, but love and hope, poof, they go together. Optimism is another form of hope. See, all optimism is a form of hope. Optimism, whereas desperate hope has a negative connotation, you know, you're desperate, optimistic hope is often positive. In both cases, the probability of achieving the hoped-for thing may be variable, but in optimistic hope, you are kind of hoping in a positive way for the future to happen without the grief and pain of if it doesn't happen. Optimistic hope allows for the hope not to be fulfilled. And then there's realistic hope. Realistic hope is based on a fair estimation of the probabilities. Thus, if something is over, say, 50% likely, then you have a realistic amount of hope that it'll happen. See, hope is like, it's directly in proportion to it may happen, and your joy is in proportion to it may happen. It's not over proportion. So if you meet somebody for the first time and you fall in love with them and you're seeing them for the second date, you hope this is the person who is going to change your life and make everything happy and give you everything you need. You hope. And because you're desperate, your hope could get even higher and higher. You have desperate hopes. You don't see all of the things that you could see. Hope is often very blinding. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "It is better to travel hopefully than to arrive." See? Indicating how hope can be a pleasant in itself. You know, to have hope. In particular, hope is often tinged with the fear both that you will not get what you want and also that even when you achieve your goal, it will not be as perfect as your fantasized eventualities. A lot of people, I'm sure you know that, friends, you have this great hope of what it's going to be like. And then it's tinged with a fear that, oh, my God, what if he does propose? Maybe it won't be so good. What if I do get it? Maybe it won't be so great. What if I get that job and I don't like it? So I want to have the hope of getting this job, but what if I don't like this job? So many people are happy just to hope. All you need to do is offer them this. That's what all casinos do to their hapless customers. You offer them just a little hope, and they experience that temporary thrill of hope, and it costs them a little money, but that is what casinos are about. A casino is a hope place. It's a hope machine. You go there and you just kind of fill yourself with hope, and even though it is realistic because you've seen it often enough, you very often, when you lose money, you walk away and you say, well, I hoped, but I had a good time. I had 2 tons of hope today. I had 54 pounds of hope. I stayed in the casino for 24 hours and I didn't lose my money. And therefore, I had hope for 24 hours. If you lose all your money in the first 30 minutes, that feels bad. But if it kind of, you know, it pays for this hope experience. In fact, romance and love is like that. You go out on a date, you had that hope for that period of time before it got shot down, and it's okay. Maybe, maybe the date lasted longer and you had a good thrill. Beware, however, of the betrayal effects. If the other person's hopes are dashed and you are perceived as a culprit, then you can easily become the target of revenge. A lot of revenge is based on you dashing someone's hope. For example, someone's obsessed with you. They love you very much. They want to see you. They got to have you. You dash their hope. You say to them, no, absolutely, I have no interest in you whatsoever. I never go out with people with 3 eyes. You know, whatever it is they say to you. The opposite of the extreme hope is revenge and anger and rage. So you try not to dash people's hopes. You know, if you have people working for you, and people work for you and they have great hopes about the future, you try not to remind them of their limitations. Try not to do it. Some of the things that parents very often do to their children is they try to remind their children that their children don't have the talent that the children think they have, and those children wind up ragefully angry at their parents. Try not to dash their hopes. Try to let them have their hopes, but not dash it completely. Now, let me go back to Charles Revson, the founder of the Revlon Cosmetics Company. This is what he said, what he sold his hopes. Paradoxically, makeup can also sow false seeds of hope in the other party. If I wear makeup, I'm actually selling myself as different than I am. You see? And there might be many cracks about the other person being beautiful the night before, but not the morning after. You know what I mean? So there's this hope that you're selling at the same time. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Why are we talking about hope? Well, we're talking about hope because this is the season, you know? Holiday season. And I was being reminded before about how children look forward to Christmas and what it means and the Christmas tree. I mean, if you ever wanted to see hope unbridled, you see it in children. They are just peeing themselves waiting for the 25th because they just can't hold it back. They're so excited, and they get more excited and more excited and more excited. And if you're a parent, you learn how to moderate the excitement. Can I have it now? Can I have it now? Can I have it now? Can I see one present? Can I get one present? Can I do one thing? No, not now. Okay, here's a little one. Okay, no. Am I going to get the thing I wanted? Am I going to get that subatomic particle distributor that I saw? No. Well, maybe. Well, you know, in hopes. Hopes. That whole Christmas song thing. You better be good. You better be nice. You know, that terrible song about Santa Claus is coming to town. Terrible song. Terrible. Terrible. It tells you you better not be angry at anybody. But that song is all about hope. Well, therefore, hope must be great, right? My friends, all hope is not so great. Is hope great? Is hope not so great? Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at both sides of it today. Tell you an experience I had. I was in Paris, there's this, there's a Holocaust museum, which is a unique Holocaust museum. I mean, I've been to the one in Washington, D.C., and a couple of others. This one was underground, and you go down these long flights of steps, and you are virtually entering a prison. You're entering like a concentration camp. And in this concentration camp, when you walk through it, if you're walking through the lodgings of the concentration camp, you're walking into the house, and there are beds on the right and beds on the left, and there are some gates and prisons, but mainly it's where the people who were imprisoned, who were there in the concentration camp, stayed. And down, it just, of course, chilled my bones to be thinking that humans were going through this. Down at the end, there was this light bulb that was hanging on a single light bulb wire socket, you know? And I looked down at the end and I said, the light at the end of the tunnel, that keeps hope alive. The guard, who was a Frenchman, stopped me and he said, no, and he chastised me. He said, if it weren't for that light, they may have rebelled. The Nazis used hope to keep people in line. They kept giving you hope and feeding you hope. They would tell you, keep pictures of your loved ones while they put you towards your own death. You know, there was always the hope that was keeping the people from rebelling. And right down to the strategy of the bulb at the end of the lodging, because if it were dark, people would have panicked, and that panic would have led to some kind of rebellion. And sure, many people would have died, but nowhere near as many, because they would have rebelled and fought back. So he said to me, watch out for that light at the end of the tunnel. Very often, it's the hope that is the worst thing that could happen to you. Interesting concept. I was thinking about that, so then I thought about Viktor Frankl. You know, Viktor Frankl was a guy, a psychiatrist, a really remarkable guy, who was a psychiatrist in the concentration camps. And Viktor Frankl wrote, he was able to get through, and he wrote a beautiful book called The Meaning of Life, and he talked about hope. The search for meaning, you're right, the search for meaning. I'll quote him from his book. He said, a thought transfixed me. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth as it was set into song by so many poets, proclaimed of the final wisdom by so many thinkers. The truth that the only thing that might save you at times of despair is love itself. That love is the ultimate and the highest goal to which man can aspire. As I sat there in my despair, I thought of my wife, not knowing where she would be, if she was alive or not, but her image came to my mind, and as I imagined her face, I felt myself coming out of the abyss. He said, the salvation of mankind is through love and in love. I understood how a man who has nothing left in this world may still know bliss through hope itself. So Viktor Frankl used hope as a survival tool. But now we're saying, you know, what if his wife were dead? What if that was all for naught? Is hope always good? Is hope always bad? Is hope a bad thing? Here's some of the some of the poets say about it. Here's Halifax. Hope is generally a wrong guide, though it is very good company by the way. That's a quote. Hope is a good guide, is a wrong guide. Don't follow hope. But it's good company along the way. Bacon said, hope is a good breakfast, but a bad supper. Valerie said, hope suggests that every conclusion unfavorable to oneself must be an error in the mind. Now, that's kind of brilliant. I love that. Hope suggests that every conclusion unfavorable to oneself must be an error in the mind. So, therefore, if you have a hope that you're going to win a lottery and then you realize you're spending your money that you would be buying your kids dinner with, you know, you say there's something wrong with me if I'm thinking not buying that ticket because I have to buy that ticket today because today they may be the day. So hope, unfortunately, makes you change your mind, suggests that every conclusion unfavorable to the self must be an error of the mind. And a pessimist This is by E. Hubbard, by the way. I love this quote. A pessimist is a man who has been compelled to live with an optimist. Sometimes you just got to take the other side. The natural flight of the human mind are not from pleasure to pleasure, but from hope to hope. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Do you hope? What is your hope about? The natural course of the human mind is not from achievement of pleasure to the achievement of pleasure, but from hope to hope. We have a hope to a hope, and that is the difference between depressed people and not depressed people. Not depressed people are going from hope to hope, right? And the depressed people are going from hopelessness to hopelessness. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to talk to you about this, too. You'll be calling us in after our break. We'll take a little break, and then we'll call you in. Here's a very interesting thing about hopelessness. An article in the New York Times recently, that people display a remarkable ability to adapt to adversity, but people don't always rebound when they have hope. So now they did a study in prison life in, this is in Hartford's in September, they studied prison life. Prisoners with life sentences without the possibility of parole adapted to prison life. Now what does that mean? That means you get along better in the prison. You learn that this is going to be your life and you work accordingly. Than the people who had the possibility of parole. The ones with hope did nowhere nearly as good as the ones who didn't have hope in adapting to their prison life. In the long run, the ones who were happier were the ones who had no hope of parole. They're the same thing with some unfortunate thing with colostomy bags. People who have to have this thing, people hate this because it's a horrible thing to have a colostomy bag to a lot of people. The people who had a hope that they were going to lose it in a couple of months, they had a harder time adjusting to it than the people who thought they were going to live with it forever. The people who live with it forever were 70% happier than the people who thought it was going to be gone in a short while, because all that time they were living with it, they hated it. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. So it's kind of a strange thing what hope does to us, huh? And you would imagine, no, hope isn't all positive. Everything is perfect about it. We just have to do it. Think about the hope in your life. Think of what you're hoping for right now. Think of how you get through day by day, and you use hope to get you through. Are you just getting through, or are you living a joyous life? Are you living a life that has a definite, nice, beautiful future, a good present and a beautiful future, and hope is a part of it? Where is hope a part of it? Is it realistic hope? Do you have realistic hope, or do you have unrealistic hopes? Is the realistic hope that you're going to become famous and make a lot of money and, you know, so on and so forth, that's going to happen? Or is the unrealistic hope that you're going to meet somebody who's going to save you, or someone who's going to really love you? Or have you gone to hopelessness, which is you'd never believe you'll ever get it? Somebody once described the difference between depression and non-depression. The non-depressed person is a person who believes that eventually they can be loved. The depressed person is a person who inwardly believes that they could never be loved. Think about that. If you're depressed, it means that you can't feel loved by anybody, and you never will be. And if you're not depressed, you believe that you could try. So then they talked about grandiose people. Grandiose people are the people who are out there beating the drums all the time, leading people, the leaders, the strong ones, the ones on stage. Grandiose people are always believing that they could get someone to love them. Almost every performer you ever meet in your life, every actor, every singer, every dancer, is trying to get loved. That's all they're trying to get. They want to get loved. They go on stage. What does love sound like? Love sounds like applause, right? Love sounds like take a bow. Love sounds like good reviews. Love sounds like people saying, oh, that was really great. You know, we're really happy to see you. So that's kind of what love is, and you're searching for love, and you're hoping all the time to get that love. So grandiosity is based on the hope that love will come your way. And grandiose people never give it up. They just keep going and going and going, and it takes form after form after form. And you could watch people, you know, sometimes you could watch major movie stars, actors, singers, performers, politicians as they age. They take different forms of always trying to get the same thing. They're trying to get love. They're just trying to get it. You know, they're trying to get somebody to really care for them. All of those people who step out there. Depressed people? Depressed people, they don't like it. They just don't think they're ever going to get love, so they give up hope. Now, there's one other aspect about hope that I think is very interesting, which is that the closer you get to realizing your hope, the more impatient you get. Now, why is that? When you have a hope and you get closer and closer to it, you get more and more impatient. The kids on Christmas Eve are uncontrollable, right? They've waited for 3 months to get to this thing. Then the day before, they are just screaming up and down. You can't control them. They can't sleep, right? They're awake all night, 24 hours. You know, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? That anxiety, why does that happen? Well, here's what I think happens with hope. I think eventually, my friends, what you do is you get a feeling that you hope for something, but there's a blanket that you put on your hope. You put a blanket on the excitement. If you think 3 months from now you're going to be doing something like going to Europe and you're taking a trip or taking a vacation, well, that's wonderful. But in order for not get too excited about it so you could do your work, you put a blanket on it for now. As you get closer, you start stripping off the blanket. You know, when you start lowering the blanket, did you ever lower a blanket over your clothes, over your body when you just lower it slowly. You kind of just bring it down. And as you take it down, you feel you come more in contact with the air. And I think as you reduce your feeling, as you reduce your cover, the anxiety and the excitement becomes, that's been held down, comes up flooding. It comes up flooding like crazy. The closer you get to it. Some people who get so close to their vacations that they get so close to their hopes that they blow it at the last minute. At the last minute, they find themselves doing something to it's like you're about to get married and you break your leg. You know, you do something that's going to stop it at the end. Boy, talk about hope, huh? Weddings, marriages, it's all based on hope. The whole thing, the whole hoopla, or should we call it hopla, is about hope. It's about how well it's going to work out. Nobody says it in the ceremony. Nobody says, we hope you're going to stay, you know, with one, but we hope you're going to stand by each other. They don't say it, but that's what it's all about. Marriage is about hope. Having children is about hope. Love is about hope. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, let me see. Michael, are you there today? No, probably. We're going to take a short break. This is Armand DeMille at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, and let's play it. Baby, I know you said
your bugle and your drum. And we are up there waiting for the miracle. For the miracle to come.
That's it, my friends. Waiting for the miracle to come. You're listening to Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen from his album, The Future. And Leonard Cohen, I don't know why I like his voice so much. I have no idea. What is hope? Hope happens when someone sees something, decides that it is desirable, realizes that they may not get it, but believes that there still is a chance of getting it. Think about that. You see something, or you imagine something, you know that it's desirable, you hope that it could happen, you know, right? You realize that you may or may not get it. The odds increase, the more of the chance of you getting it, the less is the tension that goes to the hope. Now, they talk about sexual tension. Do you ever see two people with sexual tension? Two people with sexual tension, they're kind of dripping and bulging at the seams. You know, it's like it's kind of there. There's a hope and there's a realization, and the realization that it may happen if it gets closer and closer, you can smell, you could feel sexual tension in a room. You know, gambling tension. You go into a casino or you go into a gambling parlor. The tension in the room is amazing, amazing. That hope, hope, hope. Everything, you know, is all about hope. Christmas is about hope. You know, the stores are about hope. I was thinking the other day, I was passing by I went into a restaurant and nobody was there. And it was 7 o'clock in the evening on a Saturday. And I walked in and nobody was in the entire restaurant. So I went in, and when I went in, I sat down, they took care of me, everything was fine. And I thought, what is it like to be sitting in a store or a restaurant hoping that people call? People come in. People are placing orders, you know, we're hoping for customers to walk in. Well, here's one. I hope you'll call me today. Here it is, 212-209-2900 is our number here, 212-209-2900. I want to talk about hope, and I hope you'll call to talk to me about hope. But the odds of your calling are so good because we have so many people usually calling. So I don't think I would be very disappointed. I couldn't imagine you're not calling. See, so therefore, my hope doesn't have much tension to it. But let's say I was doing a new program. Let's say I was the first time I was ever on the air. And then I put out the phone number, and this happened to a friend of mine. I had a friend who runs an organization, and he bought space, advertising space, on one of the new internet radio programs, stations. And he did 13 programs, and then he put up his name and address and his phone number, and he waited for the calls to come in, and nobody called. 13 programs, 13 hours of programming, and they supposedly had it distributed all over the world. Probably not. Probably, you know, just like in their one room or something. He did 13 programs, and he didn't get one call from anybody except a person who he told to listen, who happened to have been a relative. What's that like? What's it like to be hoping and disappointed? You hope that something happens. Quite a few years ago, somebody called. Somebody offered me the back of a milk container. This is a great story. They offered us, they owned a milk company, and his man said, you know, we'd like to do something for people. What could we do this time of year? I said, well, it's Christmas time of year. It's a good time to deal with holiday seasonal depression because at Christmas people get depressed. And he said, okay, why don't we put on our milk container seasonal depression call and the depression hotline, which was a division of the DeMille Center. So we had it all set up. The day was going to come out. And the container was going to come out, and it was going all over the tri-state area of Container of Milk. They were the only people distributing milk at the time. They were the only ones. And so here comes this container, finally comes out, and we have people standing by the phones, and the container comes out, and we're so excited. That morning, the container hits everybody's table. It's delivered. People buy it in the grocery store. It's in every delicatessen, everything. And we waited for the phones to ring, and we didn't get one call. Not a single call. We did not figure out that people who look at a container of milk and see a phone number for depression, they don't care. They're not going to call you. So it was such a great thing to have a team of people standing around. I was in my early 30s. I was so excited. I was saying, here we go. We're getting ready for this, right? It's great. Have your hopes dashed. If you don't have much of a personality, when your hopes are dashed, you crumble. You know? You fall apart underneath. As you get older, when you're younger, you tend to have more of these emotional crises when your hopes are dashed. So let's say you hope that the girl is going to respond to you in school, and your hopes get dashed, and you get, you know, she says, no, I'm not interested in you, or she goes out with your friend or something like that, and you go home and you get depressed and you feel like killing yourself, right? And you actually feel like committing suicide. That's when you're like 10 years old. You get older than that, you have similar hopes about wanting to be with somebody, and they say no, and you go home and you eat a pizza instead, or you have a quart of ice cream or a pint of ice cream. That's what you do. It lessens as you get older. And the nice thing about getting older is you don't believe that your hopes have so much control over your life. Hey, this is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. We are going to take a number right now, going to take a call right now. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there. Michael playing a joke on me. Michael may not be in the studio. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Well, that's what happens. We're hooking up to a studio down at WBAI, and when calls come in, when they do come in, as I'm sure they are, the first one to link the first one into our station becomes a difficulty, getting the first one going. We'll have it going in just a moment, my friend. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. I did want to make sure we take a couple of calls with you today. I'll be right back with you. Undashed Hopes. We'll play a little more of that towards the end of the thing. Let's take these calls. Hi, Armand DeMille here with you. You're with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm listening to your broadcast about hope. And for me, I think that the whole thing about hoping, what's involved is, you know, also acceptance. Though that I'm hoping that my situation might change, but I also accept the fact that it might not be what I want it to change to be. So that keeps me through whatever it is, hoping that things
will change. Give me a good example of where you used that skill recently. If you're talking about realistic hope, you hope that it's going to happen, but if it doesn't happen, you can handle it, because you're a person who I guarantee has had a lot of disappointments in her life.
Yes.
Right? You have been through tremendous disappointments, including the loss of your family.
Yes, I've been to hell and back.
I could hear.
And today, if I would stop hoping, if I would look at through my situation, what is going on right now, I would not have any motivation to even get out of bed.
Because the way you feel right now, if you look at your situation around you, give me an example of how dismal your situation is.
We're talking about, if I will analyze, one by one, what is going on right now in
my
life.
Just tell me, one by one, what's going on in your life right now? One by one, you have no money, right?
I have money, but I cannot even afford to put gas in my car.
That's
while
what
I was
mean.
Two full-time jobs.
And you have two full-time jobs.
Yes.
And how many children?
I have four children, but, they're grown kids. My baby is 20 years old.
Yeah. So do you have a partner?
No, I'm alone.
So there it is. There's a situation. You know, where are you from Haiti?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're from Haiti. You've been through Haiti. And certainly in Haiti, hope is such an essential necessity because of the horrors that have taken place there. And then you're here, you have a number of kids, you're working two jobs, you can't afford to put gas in your car, and you say to me, if I didn't have hope, are you kidding? I would want to bury my head in the ground,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that will not happen. That will never happen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Haitians have a higher amount of hope than most people do?
Yes, but my hope is grounded in something else.
It's grounded in reality.
My hope is grounded in the Lord.
In your belief in religion,
in my
which
belief
is such
system,
a powerful aspect. Absolutely. I understand. What's your first name?
My first name is Marlene.
Marlene?
Yes.
Marlene, I thank you so much for calling in, because that is true. That is when you have your hope, and you could have your hope grounded in something.
And let me tell you something else, because I feel that this is really interesting. I'm taking a philosophy class. And I told my teacher, you know what? I'm here. I already experienced, you know, like, where I am in my life, half of a century already. You will not and cannot sweep me of my system, because of my value system, of my belief system, because that's what had held me for the past 51 years of my life. Today, you cannot just sweep me and let me go out naked. I know what my beliefs are. I don't care what philosophy says. But I know what I believed in.
Marlene,
and that's what told me. And if it works for me, don't take it away from me.
Well, you see, now that's a very important thing, Marlene. If it works for you, don't take it away from me. And anybody who would understand you and your life and the way you use your hope and your religion to your belief to get you through. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Don't take it away from me.
Don't take it away from me, because that's what I have. And that's what I have hold on to for the past, you know, how many years, and to all the struggle of my life. I happen to smile, to joy, to serve other people, to advocate, to educate, you know. So.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
I thank you for having me, and also you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
so Marlene says something very important there. She talks about hope, don't take it away from me. Now, you know, let me tell you something. As a psychotherapist and professional in the field, very often people come to us with hopes about love and how love is going to save. And they talk about how mainly the main thing that we treat here is people whose hopes were dashed against the rocks, you know, of a bad romance. You know, where a person just has everything bet on one relationship, and then that relationship doesn't work out, and they come in and they're so depressed because their hopes have failed. And what we do as therapists is not give them more hope, but we reroute the hope. We say, yes, we're going to tame this differently. Instead of you hoping that it's going to come from the outside, we're going to get you to hope, that we're going to get you to develop your inside, so that your hope is not out of proportion and not grounded in reality. That's the work that we have to do. But we have to be careful, because I think, like Marlene says, sometimes a person's hope is all they have and their belief is all they have. And you don't want to take it away. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello
there.
Hello, Armand. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Like many of the callers and listeners, I've faced numerous disappointments, have challenges with regard to relationships, career, political ideals. I wanted to share a credo which helps get me through it, both from day to day and over the long term, and encapsulates the concept of realistic hope. Ironically, or perhaps paradoxically, it may not have worked for the originator of this, which coincidentally was someone also like Viktor Frankl, who was in the camps in World War II. And that was Antonio Gramsci, who was an Italian political activist, who actually was put to death by the Nazis during his captivity. And yet, he coined a phrase which has resonated for me ever since I've heard it, which is pessimism of the intellect, but optimism of the will. And that's the only way I know how to live.
So you have optimism of the will, but pessimism of the intellect?
Yeah, I think that there are grounds for both.
And where is, so are you saying that somewhere inside you, your mind would drive you crazy and you are not going to you're not going to listen to the negativity of your mind, or are you saying that it's wise to listen to the negativity of your mind?
I think one has to listen to the negativity of the mind. It's omnipresent in all aspects of our life.
Well, some people don't. Some people are positive in the mind. Some people are optimistic in the mind.
Well, I guess as per the name of your show. But
as per the name of my show, I do not believe that an optimistic mind is a sane mind. I believe that a mind that can embrace anything, the positive, the negative reality, whatever reality is the sane mind. So the positive mind to me is the sane mind that is based and grounded in reality, not one that's based in fantasy.
Well, that, I think, is akin to the end result of the motto that I use.
Yes. Let me ask you something. When does this... Obviously, you've been through some tough times, but in romance, where has this become real important to you?
In the continued hope that a meaningful and lasting relationship will emerge.
Will manifest for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think is essential for this relationship to manifest? What is the important shift that has to take place? Does it have to be a Teutonic shift? Do we have to have people kind of float by and you have to just meet the right person? Or do you think you have to change? Or do you think that people have to change?
I think some of it is serendipity in meeting the right person and in interactions attempting to evaluate what may be standing in the way.
Well, how about the pessimism of your mind may be standing in the way? You see, it's one of the tough things when meeting people. When people meet someone who's pessimistic of mind, even though it may be something that helps you, they very often will turn away from that. Would you hope to find someone who embraces that in you or someone who helps you feel an optimism of the mind as opposed to a pessimism of the mind?
Well, what an insightful question that I will have to think about.
Good question, don't you think?
Yes.
Because I would imagine, you know, I would imagine that what, you see, what most people look for is the balance. Very often somebody who's a little too optimistic of mind, they look for somebody who's pessimistic of mind because they want to get grounded. But somebody who's pessimistic of mind very often needs someone who is the opposite, who's different, who won't accept it. And it's very hard to get that balance. So the very person you might be looking for may turn away from you because of the initial pessimistic of the mind that they perceive.
I think I may have just had that experience recently.
Really, just happened, huh?
Yeah.
Someone you really cared about.
No, it was something that may have just begun. It was a first meeting, and we were exploring, and the meeting ended somewhat abbreviated, and in follow-up correspondence I asked why, with the response that I sought to explore and to ruminate and to examine, which I do, part of my process of thinking, which helps me to both engage with and surmount that pessimism of the mind. But the response on the other side was that while there were many wonderful qualities, including that I had just come out of a salsa class to which I always feel exhilarated at the end of, that this person was looking for someone who was light and airy.
Yeah, well, you see, the difficulty with it is the weight. When you come out of a salsa class, you know, you can't talk negativity or positive. You can't do pessimistic mind in a salsa class. The reason you take salsa is because you want to be free of your mind.
Correct.
Never give anybody any bad news on a first date. good rule of thought. Don't tell people the things that are negative on a first date. Just give it room. Let it have room to breathe. Dates, personalities need, they need room to breathe. Let a person get to know you first is generally a good rule, because I think what you're looking for is happiness. And I can hear it. I want to thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be going now. I want to thank all of you for calling in, even though we didn't get to the phone. So we're going to be, if you want a copy of today's program, you can go to thepositivemind.com. And that's my website. And you can find a whole bunch of things there that you could peruse and fool around with, and poetry and all kinds of nice things. Be sure to go through it. Thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org. Either one. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with a very, very special program. Moviegoers, be sure to tune in.